Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed and beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's Living and Thriving. And I'm Rusty, and I'm so excited about today's show because Christine's going to be coming on. And I know that she's having a hard time finding the number, so I'm going to give it to you real quick. It's 929-477-1165. Christy is, I can't even tell you how excited I'm about to have her on because she is a sister from a different mister. She likes to find peace in tragedy. She likes to help you and guide you going through the storm, and scary things do happen. Life is a tumultuous journey, as you know by reading my blog and listening to many of my shows over the years. It's been a roller coaster ride, you know? It's been ups and downs and ups and downs, and it's just been absolutely crazy. And you've got to find peace with it. You've got to find the good side of the bad. You've got to find the beauty in the darkness. And Christy is, you know, she's a powerhouse when it comes to this particular subject, and I'm really excited to have her on when she dials in. I'm hoping everybody can hear me. I have a new headset, and I'm not confident that it actually works as well as it should. So somebody will text me and let me know, I'm sure. Let me email Christy one more time. Do, do, do. 929-477-1165. And hopefully she'll dial in. And I'm just going to go on a speakerphone because I don't know if this is actually, this headset works as well as it should. So hold on. There we go. We should be on speaker now. And that will be beneficial because at least I know you can hear me that way. As always, I am traveling. Living and Thriving does not take a break. There's no rest for the wicked. I am putting together a panel of experts to discuss poverty here in Charlotte County. So I'm really excited about that. I think it's a discussion worthy to be had. I also think that, you know, it's a fixable problem, but there are a lot of complexities to poverty, and in having that discussion, we can really isolate some of those issues and see if we can fix it, because I believe 1,000% that we will cure addiction, or at least massively reduce addiction, massively reduce child abuse, massively reduce domestic violence, and it's really phenomenal if you were to think about what could be reduced fundamentally if we reduced poverty. So that's exciting. Hopefully, I will be co-sponsoring that with a local university, so I'm excited about that. I do not see Christy on as of yet. And don't forget, my address did change. I do love all the letters that I receive in the postcards, and I love when you guys donate money to keep this show going, because as you know, this comes out of my pocket. I pay for it. I don't do sponsors so that we can have a full show and have a full discussion. So 2828 South McCall Road, number 32-4, Englewood, Florida, 34224. Thank you so much for everything that you do. And I'm still waiting on Christy. This week, I just have to tell you, it has been crazy up and down. I literally walked into a place and they hired me on the spot. I wasn't even actually looking for a job. And then Chloe got hired. And then the state of Florida contacted me because they owed me money. Hey, I'll take it. And then, you know, bad things happen too. But
all in all, it was just a really wild week of crazy kind of life stuff. And I'm like, woohoo! Oh, and I got paid for my blog, medium.com. I actually got paid. Can you believe that? Me, of all people. I never expected that at all. But yeah, it wasn't a lot of money, but it's still the point. The point of it, anyway. All right, let's see. I know she's dialing in at some point. I'm just trying to check all my little technology pieces here to see where she could be. Come on, Christy, dial in, girl. 929-477-1165. It is hotter than Hades here in southern Florida. I don't know when winter is going to hit us, but I am looking forward to not wearing as much deodorant. It is like swamp butt syndrome. Today it's like 98 degrees. It's gorgeous. The sunrise was amazing this morning when I was headed over to Port Charlotte. The sun was this huge orb in the sky, just totally sucking up the ocean. It was so beautiful. All right, Christy's still having a hard time dialing in. Okay, click on Blog Talk Radio. All right. I know she's trying to dial in. She's having some technical difficulties, so we will see what happens. She's going to be really an exciting guest to have on, so hopefully with this technology kerflumps, we will get to learn more about her because she's really an exciting person. All right, Christy, hopefully you clicked on the link, my darling. It's 929. 477-1165. So while she's trying to dial in, she has an MS in counseling, psychology, and marriage and family therapy. She is from the University of Nevada at Las Vegas. She has a counseling practice. She wrote a book called Love, Hugs, and Hope When Scary Things Happen. She wrote a book, Becoming Free, A Woman Guide to Internal Strength and Finding Peace in Times of Tragedy. And so I'm really, really, really hoping that technology is her friend today because okay. Trying to read back and forth, and she's trying. I think we found her. Is that you, Miss Christy?
That is me, Rusty. How are you?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thought you were going to be lost in forever space. I'm sitting here going, okay.
I did not find it. We are good.
Well, I'm so excited about having you on. I love what you do. What we both do resonates and coincides with each other in our own journeys. And so it's so exciting to talk to a sister of a different mister on the very topics that I talk about every single day. So first off, virtual hug to you for doing all of this work for other people and helping them get through their storm. But aside from me gushing over your work, start out by telling us who you are, what you do, and what makes you you.
Well, I just, first of all, would like to say I was so thrilled to find you because I thought, oh, here's a sister in our gospel of the things we love to
yes.
do. So
yes.
I really do appreciate you. I have been a therapist for quite a few years. I had a large practice in Las Vegas. And after I retired, I decided I would write some books. And so my first book, Becoming Free, was a tribute to my clients and the journeys that they went through, the struggles that they went through to heal themselves of abuse and, oh, ritual abuse and, you know, rape and all of the terrible things that happen in this world. And then I have written this, I wrote a children's book called Love, Hugs, and Hope that I did after the Sandy Hook incident because that was such a devastating one where all those children were killed. And it was a book that helped people really find a way to communicate with children to help them get their feelings out. So that's a kid's book. And then I have done this Finding Peace in Times of Tragedy because there are so many things that happen in the world. And the editor asked me if I would write the book to deal with the tragedies that happen in the world. But, you know, we have so many tragedies in our lives that happen personally that no one ever knows about or that aren't shared. And you have some in your life and I have some in my life. And so I love to be able to work with people to help them get through those tragedies. Right now, since I'm retired, I do promote the book, but I also have 3 post-traumatic stress groups that I work with every week of people who have been through horrific trauma, whether it's been war or husbands that have abused their kids or whatever. We work through their tragedies. So I do love this work, and I love to promote it, and I love to find people like you that are working towards the same end.
And what are 3, give us your top 3 steps of really breathing in and trying to take a step forward after tragedy. As you've read some of my history, it's a tough journey. Life is a roller coaster
yeah.
ride, and sometimes you want to get off, and you're just not allowed to. And so, you know what I mean? You're buckled in permanently.
Exactly.
So give us your top three tips, tricks to trying to handle the ride.
Well, I guess the very first one that I would say is when our emotions get out of control, when our thoughts get out of control, we have to stop that process. And the way that I have taught my clients to do it, and I'm sure the way that you do also, is mindfulness and meditation is a good way for us to begin to do our deep breathing, sit quietly, calm ourselves down with some music. But then I've added a couple of other things that I have found very helpful for myself and for those that I've worked with. And one is creative visualization. For you to just picture yourself sitting on the beach. I'm sure you live close to the ocean, so just see yourself sitting there and feel the sand beneath your feet and smell the ocean breeze, feel the wind in your face. And so the more physical attributes you can put to your visualization, the stronger it will be, and it will interrupt that negativity that your brain is running wild with, whether it's emotions or thoughts or whatever. But then I've added another thing that I found when I was a young child. I unwittingly, my father was killed in a tragic accident, and so I felt very abandoned. But what I do is I connect with my father in an interesting way. I just had him read me stories every night before bed after he had passed away, and I visualized him being there with me, and it was a healing thing for me. And so I have done this with my clients, and it has worked with me. My husband passed away about a little over a year ago, and you know what? He and I have long talks and spend time together. So you can do the mindfulness, you can do the creative visualization, and then I think adding a mentor to that is very helpful. I can sit down with my husband and say to him, hey, I don't know how to turn the sprinkler system on, or the roof needs replacing, or whatever
is going on in my life, and we can just sit and discuss it together, and he will help me know what to do. I believe that those who are gone are closer than we think. And so I just use mentors for myself. My clients have used mentors, and that has been really a helpful thing. And this mentor can be anyone you want. It can be somebody, a grandparent, a parent, or someone that you know, or it can be someone that you create yourself. It can be a spiritual leader if you would like it to be. Whatever you choose, it can help you along your way. So I guess if I were to say the top three things, those would probably be the ones.
My love for what I do is the fact that I get emails or postcards or some reassurance that even if it was for a split second in somebody's life, there was something that we did on this show or on my blog or something that triggered them to move one step forward. And I feel very strongly that more people need to be able to step into that role and spend, even if it's an hour of their life, doing something that changes somebody's narrative, again, even if it's only for a split second. What kinds of things do you recommend to people, especially when they're grieving? And for me personally, the best thing that I can do when I'm grieving is work. Really, really important to me to provide service to somebody, whether it's Meals on Wheels work or blogging or my radio show, whatever, because I know the pain that I'm going through, and I don't want everybody to feel it that strongly. What tips or tricks do you use with people who are grieving to kind of get them to be of service?
You know what? You just have taken the words right out of my mouth. I feel like service is the very most important thing that you can do. I strongly believe in hard work. I feel like that's important. And just, I'm going to answer your question, but I just have to say one thing first. The clients, I worked with lots and lots of clients, and Vegas was a hard place. I mean, you can get yourself down in a deep hole in that place. But the thing, the people that climbed out of that hole were the people that are willing to work hard. And again, according to what you have just said, the hard work, I think it's better if it's a form of service. I love serving other people. I try every day to make the world a better place than it was the day before. And so whether I'm visiting the sick or the indigent or taking meals to someone or doing my post-traumatic stress groups or whatever, I just feel like it's very, very important that we give service to other people, because that fills our bucket. We think, oh, I'm helping somebody else. But you know what? It's a selfish thing, because you're filling your own bucket as well as somebody else. Because how do you feel when someone calls you and says, oh, that was really helpful for me? That gives you a sense of peace and goodness inside yourself as well as helping the other person.
It definitely puts a pep in your step. And I think that we have become a society that is just consumed with a melancholy feeling. You know, you turn on the radio, you turn on the news, you turn on the TV, you turn around the corner, and everybody's just going through something really big and hard and heavy. And there are a lot of people that shut doors in your face when you're going through that. And I think that's what the hurt really comes in, is when you are in need and somebody just shuts the door on you. What are the strategies that you would recommend in trying to continue your journey when you feel like, you know, the world's just consuming you?
To me, the mindfulness, the creative visualization, and then using my wise mentor is always helpful for me, because sometimes people on the outside are rejecting. So I have one of my ladies in my post-traumatic stress group. Her church all turned against her when they found out that her husband had abused her kids, like it was her fault. And so she was rejected along with everyone else in the family. And
right.
So, as, I mean, that's a time when you need to love those people and include them in. They're hurting so badly. So then for me, to use my wise mentor inside, that will always be available to me. I can go to my quiet place and turn on my music or whatever, wherever I'm going to be. I can even do it in my head while I'm driving the car or whatever. I can let that wise mentor be there for me and talk things over with me, and it calms me down and it helps me find a positive attitude. And when I have a wise mentor, I feel like I must look for the positive and gratitude. I must tell my mentor what I'm grateful for, because there are always things that I can be grateful for. And so that wise mentor is never gone. It's always there for me.
I think that, you know, when you are first going through a tragedy, there's really nothing but kicking and screaming and crying and frustration and pain that you can really experience. And I think it takes a lot of personal desire and work to try to find your personal mentor. I don't think that that's an easy task. I think, you know, you really have to want it. And I see that the largest jury we have are our friends and family. And as much as we love them, sometimes they make that pain a little worse, don't you think?
True. That's very true. And one thing that you've hit on that I think is also important is, you know, we have our mental status that we need to work with to calm ourselves down, but also the people that really healed are also willing to do the body work that needs to happen. Like, for instance, I had worked with a lady that had been raped by her father as a young girl over and over and over. So she just got herself a punching bag when she went to the gym, or she had one in her garage. And every day out she'd go to do her kickboxing on that punching bag. And she placed her father's picture on there, and off she went to kick and punch and get rid of that. So she really did the body work that she needs. And some people are runners, and some people are like to work out. So whatever your sport is or whatever you like to do, I think that you need to do the body work along with it, because that all of that abuse is stored in your body as well as in your mind.
It's very powerful to sit back and express what's going on your inside. I can tell you that my brain is a labyrinth, and there's just so much that goes on in my head. Like, it's exciting and scary and vulnerable and fear-filled and love-filled and passionate and, you know, just a wild ride. And sometimes I think that when you're going through tragedy, you kind of stay in your head and the ride gets wilder. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. They've done research with the brain, and they found that the hippocampus, which records the memories, shuts down. And then the amygdala, where the emotions come from, that just runs wild. And your prefrontal cortex that regulates that, the brain, it kills. Some of the brain cells are damaged when you've been through a tragedy. So no wonder your mind just goes racing in every direction. So that's absolutely true, and they've been able to prove that scientifically. So we need to spend some time with our visualization, with our workout, with our physical activity, whatever we need to do to be able to heal ourselves, because it isn't. Some people say, oh, it's all in your head. Well, it really is all in your head. I mean, it is a physical change in your brain that we have to reparent ourselves or mentor ourselves to be able to get through. You're absolutely right, because we do. We run off in every direction. My mind, sometimes I think my mind is like a wild horse caught in a box canyon, and it just runs in every single direction, and there's no way to control it. So I totally get that.
Oh yeah, I think, you know, if you're gonna have a bucking horse, it's definitely the one in my head. Because Lord, there are days where my horse just bucked way too much, and I think PTSD has a lot to do with that. And you work with people with PTSD, and what I love about 2019 is the Happy Palindrome Day. Everybody that's listening, look it up. You'll see what I'm talking about. Today's Day of Palindrome. We are starting to be more compassionate and understanding of what PTSD is and what it means to people. It's not, you know, somebody walking up to you and shooting you up. It's not that fantastical
right.
delusion that we were raised with as children. It's a lot more common and a lot more complex than that. So I would like you to share with us just like a high-level overview of what PTSD is and, you know, what some of the treatment options are for people out there.
Oh, thank you for that introduction. Post-traumatic stress is real. And I love what you're saying, because when I was a young kid, I mean, nobody even knew what that was. We didn't talk about things. It was a terrible tragedy in our family after my father was killed, and my mother, she had post-traumatic stress, and so it, you know, filtered down to us kids, and we never talked about anything. And people talk nowadays, and I love that we can talk about things. I just feel like that's so, so, so important. So when your brain gets racing, why, we have to find some ways to calm it down. And, you know, we can't just say one size fits all on this. Everybody has to find their own way. And I love what you're doing, and I love your work, because somebody's going to glom onto just some little phrase or mantra or whatever you have said, and that's going to mentor them for the day. So we have to look for the things in our lives that will heal us. Some people were totally into physical activity that I worked with, and others were not. They were cognitive and more in their heads. They needed to read. And some people needed to go back over the trauma that happened to them and remember things, and other people just wanted to walk beyond it and do their creative visualization and have their wise mentor and walk and move beyond it. So you see, everybody's a little different. So I think we can't say, well, do this or do that or do the other. It's a journey for everyone. Like you say, we have to do our own hard work to be able to find what works for us.
And I think one of the first steps is to acknowledge that you have a thing. And I don't like calling it a problem or an issue. You know, one out of every eight people have PTSD. It's very common. It's not,
yep.
And I don't know if that's the right percentage, but I mean, it's very common and it's not unmanageable. You just have to find what works for you. And I 100% agree with that. You know, if you want to pick up long distance running and that helps you cope with the anxiety and the PTSD, then go for it. If your PTSD is so overwhelming that you need to be on medicine, your doctor can guide you.
Perfect.
But I think
perfect.
First and foremost, you need to reach out to either a post-traumatic stress group, a PTSD group, or even a therapist, a counselor, your parishioner, and start having those discussions about what options you have in your local area to help you get through that time.
And post-traumatic stress groups are available in every city, in every town. Google it and you'll find groups in your area. Go to your, like you said, go to your church, your pastor or your mentor, your religious mentor will be a help to you. They will be able to guide you. Look for a therapist. I want to just say a little bit about looking for a therapist, because some people feel like all therapists are wise gurus and they are all wonderful. I was always very happy when someone was therapist shopping. And I feel like if you're going to find a therapist, first of all, look for one that's on your insurance plan so you don't have to pay an arm and a leg. And second of all, interview several of them and ask the questions that you want to ask and ask what they're how they work and what their techniques are and how they do therapy, and then find somebody that's going to work for you. I was always happy to interview people or to do an interview if people wanted to and ask some questions, even if it's just on the phone, to find out what this person is like. So this is a personal healing journey for you, and you need to find a therapist that's going to work for you. Look for one that has your same cultural background or your same religious background, because that will be helpful for you also. Well, we learn in school that we need to work within the culture of our clients. It's much more helpful for me to work with people that have the same background that I do, that walk the same path that I do. I even think it's good to look for people that have had the same kind of, been through the same kind of trauma that you have been through, that have found the path already as a therapist, because that will be helpful also. PTSD groups are so, so important. I had a lady come to one of the PTSD groups the other day, and she was sure that she was the only one whose husband had abused her kids, and she had experienced sexual abuse when she was a child. And she felt like nobody else had been through this. It was horrible, and it was just her story. But as she sat and listened, all of the other people in the group had been through the very same things, and she really bonded with these women because they became her sisters, because they knew the path that she had been on and that she was on to recovery. So the groups are very, very helpful. You'll just find somebody that's been on the same path that you have been, and they know. They can relate to your pain because they've walked that path. So groups and therapists are very important.
And if you're a reader, I think there are a ton of authors out there that do a great job at raising the bar in conversation. One of the things that, you know, I'm 43 years young, and I find that I'm the last generation of complacency, meaning when I was growing up, when the door closed, anything that happened behind that door was a family secret. And you never talked about this stuff. You would not come out and say that you were raped. And I grew up in the South, so, you know, if you were raped and you were a girl in the South, then what did you do wrong? It's your fault.
Exactly.
Were you wearing a too short of a skirt? Were you showing too much arm? Were you, you know what I mean? And all of that is changing. We're really evolving as a community and becoming far wiser in regard to trauma and what that means. And I love, love, love the fact that we now have some pivotal authors, you being one of them, coming out with stories to, you know, guidebooks, self-help books, you name it. It's all out there. They even have angel cards for inspirational daily things to help give you an extra pep in your step, because not every day is going to be a good day. You can make
Absolutely.
It as best as you can. And that's the reality, no matter if you were traumatized or not. And sometimes I think when you're freshly wounded, you feel like you're alone in that arena. And I'm so grateful that now in 2019 we have hundreds of resources, tons of radio shows and podcasts, and a lot of people that are very vocal and having a real live conversation to help change the narrative of those who have been traumatized.
That is so perfect. One of the most powerful feedbacks that I get from my book is I have got stories in there. I've got a 9/11 survivor. I have a lady that was abused and raped. She had a child at age 12 and that was given up to the state of New York. She had been through so much trauma. Her mother was a prostitute for a drug cartel. I mean, it's just a horrendous story. But yet she's happy. She became a librarian at a large university in the United States, and she found her way. I have a mom that had his leg blown off in Afghanistan and the trauma that she went through from this. I have a story of a young man whose father committed suicide. So I've got all those kinds of stories in the book. So my point is there are, like you say, there are resources out there where people can find stories that match their own, that fit for them, so that they can find their way. And in my post-traumatic stress groups, even, some women are so cognitive. They love to read. They love to do that. Other women love to write. I have some women that are artists that draw poignant pictures, and they release their emotions through the art. So there's so many ways to heal, and I just encourage all of your listeners, please, please find the ways that work for you to heal, because they are as varied as we are.
Well, and I love the fact that you brought up art, and I know several people on this planet who have gone through major trauma, and they're not willing to really discuss it. They don't want to talk, and they don't want to have a conversation, and they find release of whatever they're thinking, whatever their emotion is at that moment, through art. And art is very therapeutic. It is absolutely one of my number one go-tos outside of writing. I'm a big believer of writing whatever it is that's freaking you out and then burning it because it's cathartic.
Good. Perfect.
Yeah, you know, you just write the ugliness down and just burn it and watch it turn into ash. But art is amazing and music is amazing. You know, get in your kitchen, blare your music, dance, scream. I think that a lot of times it's very appropriate to go out in the woods and scream.
I think that's an awesome thing to do. I think that's great.
But we are halfway through the show, and I just want to give you an opportunity to tell the audience your name again, where we can find you, and whatever contact information you want to announce to the world.
My book is called Finding Peace in Times of Tragedy, and my name is Christy Monson, CHRISTYMONSON, and you can go to my website and my blog and find whatever you want. My book is available on Amazon, is the cheapest place to find anything these days. So my book's on Amazon and you can find things there. But I am excited for your visitors and your listeners to be able to find the way that's going to work for them.
And I think if you learn and you want to grow, no matter if you've been traumatized or not, I still think that using these resources, knowing that they're available, knowing that there are tools, so many varying tools to help whatever situation you may stumble across, is just amazing. Again, this is all relatively new in our world to have all of these resources and the availability of having true conversations to change personal narrative. And it's exciting,
absolutely.
Don't you think?
Absolutely, it's wonderful. I just keep thinking, we started on art, so I just, have we got a minute that we can talk just a little bit more about art? Okay, well, I have had women who are potters who love to work with clay, and so they take a pottery class, and they just can get all that kinetic energy out through throwing pots. I had one lady that she loved to cook. She had a cooking blog, and so she would, when she got to her tough days in her kitchen, she'd go and make bread, and she didn't use the mixer. She made it by hand. And by the time she'd pounded and beaten that dough to get the gluten going good, she had worked through her feelings. And so I think you can't limit yourself. You have got to just look for whatever works for you. I love using color. I think plain color is wonderful. You can have a journal that is nothing but a color journal, so that if you're having a blue day, use the blue for depression or whatever colors work for you. I hate to put a color with a feeling because it needs to be yours. I had a lady that did several pages in just black, and those were the days she felt suicidal and had a horrible time getting through the depression that she was feeling. So create a color journal. You may have a whole yellow page or have suns all the way through your page because you're having a good day. So I feel like the sky's the limit of creativity. You know, think outside the box and make it any way that works for you.
And I love the fact that you're very pro advocate in regards to all these choices. There's tons of choices. I have a friend who has diabetes and is constantly touch and go. No matter what this person does, It's just a hard, hard battle, and they've been battling this their whole life. And they're very wonderful and love them, always smiling. And the way this person deals with their constant never knowing is by fishing. This person goes out and fishes and just is one with the water, one with the fishes, doesn't even eat them, doesn't even care about that. It's taking that time away from everything and being still and really concentrating on the skill of fishing. And, you know, people underestimate the power of will, and I think we underestimate our ability to heal. Everybody on this planet is able to heal themselves, but more so, we all go through stuff, and you're not alone. And I think one of the barriers that we run across as humans is that we watch so much negativity on TV and on the radio and all of that stuff that we feel embarrassed by going on our journey, whereas we shouldn't. We shouldn't feel embarrassed. And we only have a couple of minutes left, but I really want you to address that feeling of being humiliated or embarrassed because you're going through a real tough time and you don't even know or understand it fully. And trying to reach out to the resources, sometimes you feel humiliated or embarrassed. And that's not a real thing, but it is in your head.
I think that's wonderful. Comparison is a horrible thing. We can always find somebody that's worse off than we are and think, oh, we're not so bad. So I think, first of all, we have to get the comparison thinking out of our head. Our journey is our journey. And so we have got to, you just can't compare yourself to somebody else because you can find somebody worse, you can find somebody better. And comparison is a horrible thing as far as our self-esteem goes because there's always people that are better than us at whatever, and we can always put ourselves down. So I like the fact that you have brought that up because I think that's one of the important things we need to be able to do is say stop in our head. And so when those kind of embarrassed feelings and thoughts come into your head, you have to say stop it. And then you have to replace it with something. And this is where I believe that the guided imagery and the creativity can replace that and mentor that. I want to just go back to one of the things that you've said. Nature is a wonderful place for us to heal. I just feel like whether we're fishing, water is a healing place. The ocean, the beach, the lake, the forest, the mountains, all of those places are wonderful to heal. And we have, all of us, even those who live in the city, there are parks available and we can go sit under a tree and watch the birds or whatever. Those things are always available. So when we have those embarrassing feelings and those feelings of guilt or I'm not good enough, we have to embrace that, accept that it's there for you, and then tell it to move on into the light and then use one of these other techniques that work for you to help you have a better day. Gratitude is a wonderful way to look at the beauty around you and the wonder in your world, the good things of your life. The bodies that we have function so beautifully. They can't make a camera as good as our eyes. They make sound systems, but they aren't as good as our ears. We have a God-given, wonderful machine, if you want to call it, a body that works in ways, and we need to be grateful for the little things that we have. Even if we have diabetes and we don't work too good, part of us doesn't work too good, we still have a lot of things about us that are wonderful, and we need to use that gratitude.
All right, my darling. So this is where we have to part ways, but I would absolutely love for you to take the time to allow everybody to know where they can find you, more information, how they can reach out to you, and how they can ask you questions when they're in need to ask those questions.
Oh, thank you. It's been wonderful working with you. I appreciate you. I feel like you're a sister on the same journey that I am, and I love that. I send you a virtual hug. My name is Christy Monson. My website is christymonson.com. My books are on Amazon. Finding Peace in Times of Tragedy is my latest book. And write me. I would love to be in touch with you. You just write me a note on my website, and I'll be right back to you. So blessings to all of you, and I wish you all the best in your healing and your journey. And I send love and light to all of you. Thanks so much for having me, Rusty.
You are a doll, and I really hope that we stay connected, because I'd love to have you on again, especially around the holidays, because I think your lessons and your story will be very helpful to people around the time when people feel the most sadness. You know what I mean?
I would love to do that, and we really haven't even talked about grief. I mean, grief is a huge part of this, and we haven't even touched on that. So, yes, there are lots of subjects we could talk about. So I send you a hug and wish you the best. Thanks
all right.
so much.
Thank you so much, Christy. Have a good day. Thank you for coming on.
You too. All right. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty, and today is Thursday, and I woke up to the most beautiful orange orb crawling out of the ground, and the sky was pink and stripped with grays, and it just was phenomenally gorgeous. And to start my morning out with someone, a sister of the different mister who does so much work in finding love and light in the darkest places, I'm so excited that we had Christy on today, and I look forward to having her on in the future. We're going to talk about grief. That's a long and tough topic, but I know that we can do it because, well, we're that good. Until next week, know that you are loved, know that you are beautiful, know that it is so important for you to drive 5 miles slower, take 5 more minutes in bed, it's okay to hit that snooze button, hug a little tighter, reach out when you need to, and hey, go and have some fun. Dance in the kitchen, dance in the living room, don't matter, just go and have a little bit of fun for yourself today because you really deserve it. You wildly deserve it. Until next week, know that I love you.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.